call the January 7th, 2020 Committee of the Whole meeting of the Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa Shepherd, please call the roll and note the time.
All right, 7:06. Member Boren?
Yes.
Member Covey?
Yes.
Member Ludden?
Yes.
Member Underdunk?
Here.
Chair Brooks?
Here. Okay, I am going to, this is sort of standard practice for board meetings and committee meetings, invite those in attendance to share their thoughts in a three-minute time frame. Please note there will be a second matters from the public relating to Dog Park Task Force findings after the presentation. So if you feel as if you'd like to speak now before the presentation, please, you know, you're welcome to. Otherwise, we will have a second opportunity after we do the presentation. So would anyone like to speak? Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. All righty. So, Lisa Shepherd, our executive director, will lead the discussion on the presentation on Dog Park Task Force findings.
Do you know who the fourth person is?
Yeah, I'm thinking about it.
Hello, everyone.
Thank you.
Just one
Hello?
Second.
Hello.
I think he's Jay.
Okay.
I think he's Jay.
I'm Lisa Shepherd, I'm the executive director. I'm just going to steal that from her in a second.
Okay.
Thank
you. He's Tom.
All right. So, just to give you a little overview of the process we went through the dog park. I don't know if everybody here was involved in the whole process that started almost a year ago. So, give a little review of our process. So back in March, our district held a community meeting on the site of the dog park at a time of over 100 people showed up at a community meeting, and we had a consultant here that explained the benefits to of dog parks and then the cons to dog parks. And then we actually divided up into groups, and there was a group that said why they wanted a dog park in Glencoe, and there was people that indicated why they did not want a dog park in Glencoe, took notes. Then we put maps up on the wall of the park district land that was suitable for dog parks. We have people to put stats on that map of where a dog park could potentially go. Okay? Then the board reviewed all the suggestions and determined that there were six locations that met the criteria. So the criteria, and this packet that we have on this slide is available on our website starting tomorrow. The criteria were a dog park should not directly abut a residence. We should avoid locations that share entrance to a playground. They should be safe and accessible parking. Minimum impact on the visual character of a park. Avoid congestion of park that congestion in a park that is already being used. And the land should be at least 1 acre or more. So those are criteria that we looked at. After the board picked those six locations, they asked staff to form a task force to study the viability of those six locations, which they did. We had 11 member task force, and I believe four are here today. Michael, raise your hand. Michael's back there. He's on the task force. Renee, right there. Tom, there. And then
Eric.
Eric's back there. Eric was there. And then we had 11 others, Jay, Edie, Lori, Susan, Ann, Stacy, another Susan, Lisa Brooks, our president of the board, who sat on the meeting, and Stephanie also sat in some of the meetings. And we took pretty much all summer into fall to study the sites. They visited, they took a little bus tour, visited all the sites, made out pros and cons lists, which are also in the appendix of this presentation, and said what all the pros were in each location, what all the cons were, and then had very lengthy discussions on all of this. After they discussed all the potential locations, they unanimously determined that the south side of Sheldon Park location met the criteria best of everything that they looked at. A survey, but they also said there was also issues with that location. So it wasn't like, oh, these met all the criteria, let's go with it. They said, there are some downsides. So at that time, the committee developed a very in-depth survey. Again, in the appendix, It's a survey if anybody wants to look at it. And we asked the neighbors what they thought the benefit of a dog park would be. Have they ever been to a dog park? What are some of the cons for a dog park? With those cons, is there anything the park district do to mitigate those concerns? So all those questions were asked. We had a really good response rate. I think we had don't quote me, but about 58 people returned those surveys, which is phenomenal results. So, and the task force picked out who did those surveys, so they did the houses surrounding the park, but then they branch out further. So anything that would maybe be adjusted because of parking and things like that would consider a survey sent out. The surveys are also available to do, they could do it the old-fashioned way, fill it out with a pen, send it back, or they could do it electronically. So we did get some surveys back from other parts of town, should a neighbor share that survey. Okay, so their conclusion, and I'm getting right to the punch. There was a consensus on the task force that a dog park is a desired amenity for Glencoe. That was not in debate. All 11 said, yes, we understand that the community wants a dog park. So that was really not enough for debate. They understand the benefits. However, after reflecting on the survey results, they reluctantly concluded that they would not recommend a dog park within the Glencoe Park District property. The task force believes that the Cook County Forest Reserve had adequate nearby property for a dog park. So what they're recommending, they think Glencoe needs a dog park. They don't think the park district parks are suitable for that, but they would recommend that a citizen group be formed with the residents of Winnetka, Northfield, and Glencoe to rest the Cook County Forest Reserve consider a dog park on forest land in our area. I want to thank our task force and give them a chance to speak and give their summation and target which on the spot of why you think you came to this conclusion as a group and maybe something a little bit about the process. I don't know if any of you would like to speak. They're afraid.
Like Lisa said, it was pretty, we had a lot of discussions. We visited all the areas.
I'm Eric Hopp, for those who don't know me, but we did a lot of visiting all the different areas and had a lot of discussions in our meetings that took quite a while each night, and a lot of back and forth. Some of us were for it, some of us were against it. And basically found a certain area in Shelton Park and created a survey. And really in the end, if you look, I thought one of the most telling things was in one of those survey questions, they asked, would Glencoe be good for a dog park? And of those respondents, 45% said yes. But then they said, another question was, would we like it in this area, right near your house? And 86% said no. So I think overall, the idea of having a park in Glencoe is a really great idea for everyone. It seemed that, for the most part, having it put right next to you. I think if you live in the city, sometimes there are things that get built and people are a little bit more open to having things built that weren't there when you moved in. But if you're going to have something put next to your house that could have some different things like noises or odors or whatever the different parking issues, things like that, people don't want that to be put, in some respect, forcibly next to their house that they moved into.
Eric did a really good job of going out to all the neighboring dog parks at different times of the year. And one of his most telling he brought back to the group is that he went to the dog park, doesn't really matter. And when he was talking to all these active dog park users in the height of August, when it was pretty smelly, he went and asked the dog park users, I see you love the dog park, I see you're here using it. Would you buy this dog park next to your house? And what was their answer?
Yeah, for them, people didn't really want it next to their house. There's a really nice one in Highland Park, which had a lot of land, and it was basically surrounded by a forest preserve. And whether I asked somebody there or I asked somebody at the Winnetka Beach, which you could smell walking down to the dog park. People just didn't want it next to their house. So I think if Glencoe had a place that had a large area that was not surrounded by houses, then we would have found a better place. But I think overall the idea is that if anybody's told anyone that, look, you're going to have a dog park put right next to your house, 86% of the people prefer not to have that, is what we found.
So this is the survey results you're talking about. When you support a dog park in the area shown, and that was in Shelton Park, 56.54%, so 45 said no. Six said yes, and three of those six were not directly in the area. They were like across Green Bay Road. So that was interesting. But it wasn't like they hated dog parks. They definitely had, like you said, 45% said that they like dog parks. And they see the benefits of dog parks, socialization, exercise, things like that. They felt the sense of community was high. Desirability is going to buy a home. They understand that. But when you put it in the settings that you can, it went way down low. When we did the survey, we asked what concerns you had. So, you know, we do things in the park district that people have concerns about. We always ask, what can we do to mitigate those concerns? And when we really looked at it, when the task force looked at it, there are certain things that you can do nothing about to control. And one of the biggest things was the smell of the park. There was nothing that we could really do to mitigate that smell that occurs in a dog park. There's no burping, there's no like large fan you can put in there. That's something that we couldn't figure out how to not disturb the homeowners that live there. And noise was another one. You can feel worms, but I know from experience worms, the noise just travels over and that really doesn't, that does not take away that the dog's barking. There was much debate whether or not dogs bark a lot in dog parks. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. There were some really interesting articles that we gave to the task force. You can look at all those articles. I gave them more information than they wanted. Articles for everything. There was a community in D.C. that recently put up a dog park in a similar kind of community, a similar type area, and they just put the dog park in, and 2 years later they took it out because they could not answer those concerns of the dogs barking and the smell. So I don't know if anybody else. Do you have anything, Tom?
Sure. Yeah. Hi, I'm Zach, and I was on the dog park committee. I think this shows the mic. So I think the survey shows that, you know, when you ask people, it wasn't just no, it was more along the lines of no way, no how, not in our neighborhood. I think the thing I would emphasize is that the park district really made a significant effort to discover what their concerns would be. And if you think about the constraints that the park district has, its land is primarily along Green Bay Road, Vernon, which are both major thoroughfares, and a little bit by schools. Schools are obvious bad locations for a dog park. And so that leaves sort of, we thought that the Shelton Park location met some of this criteria. It's a little tucked away. It's not next to the playground, there is parking available, but I mean clearly it's too close to the other houses there, and yeah, you got it right there. Yeah, you can see like that's a big map. You know, I don't think we could use any part of Skokie Country Club for a dog park. The idea that we came up with that might work was that land off of Lake Cook that's county land. It's, what's the name of that?
Turnbull Woods,
right. Mm-hmm. That seems to be underutilized, and there clearly wouldn't be as much density there, but that's not within the purview of the park district. I do want to say that the park district folks, I don't know what perceptions are extremely conscientious and thorough, and the survey that they did was, it wasn't like they were trying to force an issue. I've lived in other communities in the North Shore. I feel strongly that the Glencoe Park District really had the taxpayers and the residents and everybody's interest in mind. And I think that maybe that gets overlooked in these slides here, but I think they did a great job on this.
Thank you. Sure. Just to give you some feedback, the Parkton has contacted the Cook County Forest over the last 6 years. Every year I send a letter or make a phone call. Hey, can you want to look at this on the dark park in Turtlewood? And the answer has been no. So that's why the recommendation, I told that to the task force, that's why the recommendation was to form a citizens committee, because you are the voters of the county. You have more power, really, as voters than we do. Winnetka Park District just went through the same exercise, and they also came to the same conclusion that they didn't have a spot that would work, but the Forest Preserve would. So that's why maybe working with Winnetka and Glencoe and Northfield as united voice could possibly get that done. It would take really passionate citizens to spearhead that committee. The Park Board, I'm sure, would support the committee in any way they can with rooms and support if they ever decided they would like to allow that in their land. Maybe a room can be made and we could do the dog park. So that's where it is with the Forest Preserve. Michael, do you have anything?
Yep. Has the Forest Preserve ever built a dog park on any of their land?
Yes, they have. I believe they have two dog parks, but not in this area.
Yeah, the closest one, I think, is the one off of the tollway in, is it Des Plaines?
Yeah.
So right off the tollway east of, just north of Gulf Road. But that's a hike. So I'm Michael Beer. I'm a member of the task force. And I've got to say I agree with my colleagues completely. And I'm one of the more, as Lisa and Lisa know, I'm one of the more rabid supporters of a dog park in Glencoe. But unfortunately, the park district just doesn't have the space that is available, available and suitable, and not surrounded by homes with lots of neighbors who will kick up an awful fuss if this issue is pursued in their neighborhood. And there's a term in urban studies, urban planning, that kind of stuff, called NIMBY, not in my backyard. And these people, as we said, were firmly of the opinion that, yes, Glencoe should have a dog park, but NIMBY, not in my backyard. And it's unfortunate that we don't have more leverage as a community through the park district over what the Cook County Forest Preserve District does. But as citizens, we can, believe it or not. Despite my accent, I've lived in the Chicago area over 40 years, and I'm still not speaking like a true Chicagoan. we have to get together and do that ourselves, perhaps with support from throughout the park districts around here, including Northfield. Because the other site that we talked about was the one at Willow Road, just east of the expressway, east of 94, between basically the Willow Road exit and the bike path. Those who know the bike path along the lagoons, there's a large, that's all Forest Preserve land, and one can conceive of carving out a space in that area that would be big enough with available parking, okay, that might work just as well, if not perhaps better, than Turnbull, because Turnbull is very far north, the far edge, and this is a little bit more central for the other communities. So there's some options, but we have to think about this a little bit more, because there just isn't a good enough site left in Glencoe on Park District land to support a dog park at this time, given the extremely likely opposition. And I wouldn't want to put the board up against that opposition. It's just not worth it. Not worth their time, not worth our money to do that.
I do have to say that I would say the task force at the beginning was definitely lead more to wanting to draw a park and trying to figure out every way they could. And when I say they would you agree, I would say when they say they reluctantly came to the conclusion after looking at all the facts that it could be done, it was. There was a desire to have dog park in Glencoe, but they really felt through all the information they received that there was not something So I don't know if there's anybody maybe you want to speak or okay. On the Park District website, under our transparency portal, all information, we didn't want to really bog down a lot of the details, but if you really want to dig into the issue more and see everything the task force looked at, it's all available on our website. If you email me, I can send you these links directly so you can find it. But if you want our transparency portal or other board or committees, you can find them all there. We also have if you go to our website and go under news, there's actually a dog park, special project dog park feasibility tab that has all the information that was given the task force, all the articles, everything in there. So you can really dive into the issue and see how much information they received throughout this process, but they did not take it lightly. Gave a lot of homework and they did a great job for volunteers. So anything else? Okay, we're going to welcome the community up and ask any questions.
This is the 3 minute time. If anybody would like to, even just if you just, you know, it doesn't even have to be a question, just your thoughts, if you would like to share.
I'm Alan Chatton, live at 350 Old Green Bay Road, which is the northernmost house on Shelton Park. First, I want to commend and thank the task force for their thoughtful consideration of this. I will say anecdotally, I thought that the choice of Shelton Park was an odd one when you consider that there is a playground there, that there's the community garden there, there's the Green Bay Trail there, so it's an active park. In terms of not affecting homes, there are, I believe, 10 homes whose backyards directly abut the dog park. I would say that the dog park, the northeast corner of the dog park, is less than 50 feet from my backyard, as proposed. Not closer than the length of this room, considering the conditions. I think you mentioned NIMBY, and I've thought a lot about that. I really don't even think it's an NIMBY issue. I think it's really not in anybody's backyard. I think there's a reason why the Westfield, Highland Park, and Northbrook and Wilmette dog parks are at the beach, or in industrial parks, or in Centennial Park, where there's an enormous bit of land. You talked about the Chevy Chase, Maryland situation, which was, I think, to be kind of fiasco. If you look around, it was reasonably clear early on that there wasn't a suitable space. But then I mostly wanted to say thank you for the task force for both their time and the considered and I thought a lovely answer that came up.
Thank you. Yes, yes.
I'm Emily Borowski. I live on Northwood Drive, right at Turnbull Woods. I would welcome the dog park in a heartbeat in my backyard. Thank you to the task force. I very clearly think it's an NIMBY issue. I have been paying about $150 a year for many, many years to go to the Highland Park dog park. I have never experienced odor. People clean up after their dogs and use a garbage can. They provide waste materials, baggies. I have never experienced an odor. To say they are noisy, the dogs are playing and happy and are not barking. For all of you who were surveyed, this is an emotional issue because I think everyone is missing the bringing of a community together to have a dog park. It's very social. It's not just dog owners who are enjoying the dog park. For all of you to say it's noisy, you live on a train track. You chose to buy in that area. You live 10, 20, 30 yards from the train. You live by a playground. There's nothing noisier than happy children. It's wonderful, delightful sound. There's nothing noisier than children or living by a school. Noisy. I think, unfortunately, the community has missed the point of what a dog park can bring to a community. And it's a lost opportunity to begin saying, get it, Willows. You missed the whole point of having a dog park in Glen Park. okay? It's a wonderful way to walk and get exercise and be outside and have children enjoying nature and being with animals. And it's very emotional for me. I'm very, very disappointed in the outcome of this evening.
Anyone else?
Yes, sir.
Hi, I'm Steve Salzman. I started talking about the dog park, I think, about a year and a half ago. I'm kind of in the building architect development world. So we did our own study before, and I actually gave that to Lisa probably a couple months before this all started, and came to similar but different conclusions. One is that there's lots of croutons in the land. And I would, my recommendation is, having worked with city government, state government, county government, is that there should be a citizens committee, but it definitely should be, the leadership should come from park district to park district, to get the meetings going and have a true conversation. But there's lots of land. And Trumbull's one, over near Little House is another. We're surrounded by land. The Cook County does support this in different ways. But then, to what was just said, I think that the issue of what has value in the community is really being missed. And why are we all here? We're all here because of the community assets that moved us here. And I would second, I'm not as emotional about this, but I do care about this a lot. The issue of dog parks, I've been to as many as anybody in here, and probably more. The issues of concern, I had never seen either out here or in the city. In the city, obviously the dog parks are much smaller, and they are adjacent to properties, and I'm not trying to compare the situations, but in terms of noise, in terms of smell, I would say it comes more from the coffee cups of the owners and more from the owners talking with each other in terms of smell and noise. So I'm not sure that's a serious concern that has really been addressed fully. But what I would ask the board, the park district board, is let's assume the community accepts that available lands are not suitable. I'm not sure I agree with it, but let's just say that's true. Well, we've been allocating millions of dollars for years now to refix parks up. Maybe you have to look at how you're allocating land. And maybe there has to be a trade. Maybe there's property with the city of Glencoe, the village of Glencoe that it controls. But if it's true that the available land that's empty is not available to be used properly for our community, I think we should look at it more closely versus just putting it away into Cook County. And I'm all for the Cook County thing. That was, believe me, when we did the little study and gave it to Lisa, most of the property was Cook County that was identified. It's an obvious solution. But I do think you should look at some of the other land and utilize it another way. And maybe say, over some time, you make a trade. And you make land that is farther away from properties that don't create the ruckus that you have a building on or you have something on, and you start planning in a different way. Because this is we moved here in 92. This was a conversation back in the 90s. I couldn't tell you when. So there's been lots of times to plan strategically. And I think maybe that thought process could take place within this board. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
You can say whatever you want. Anyone else have anything to add? Okay.
I would like to thank our task force members, the ones that are here tonight that got up and spoke, and then the ones that aren't here for giving their time. They gave up a lot of evenings and a lot of time going to do the research and looking at all possibilities. So thank you very much for giving your time and giving back to the community. So give them a round of applause, whether you like it or not. All right. Thank you.
I guess I should add something because I'm the board rep that was on this. I would say this: it's a personal disappointment that we so carefully went through this process and thought so much about it and spent time designing it and executing it and did not manage to come to a conclusion that was really satisfactory to people who want a dog park. Because we do understand the value of a dog park. I know that anyone who reads anything about dog parks in park district literature or just the articles that you see in mainstream media, you know this is an ask in every community. It's the fastest growing thing across the country. However, the task force did their job, and that was not the conclusion the park district had expected or desired. It's the conclusion that they came to. So we will take all of your comments under advisement, certainly, and hopefully there will be some interest. You will show us that you have some interest. People will show us they have an interest in supporting this notion of a citizens group that pursues forest preserve land. So maybe there's a way we could have a sign-up sheet or something from the people who are here who would like to participate, and we can reach out to anyone who was at the first meeting and then at this meeting and see if we can't get something rolling with that.
Jenny will put some, here, you can just take notepad, put this notepad out there if anybody's interested in serving on that citizens committee. And in the meantime, if anybody has a spot in Glencoe that all the neighbors would be happy to have a dog park next to it, please send it our way.
Yeah. I mean, you never know.
All right.
Can I say something?
Yes, please.
I just want to say to you that I am really disappointed for the community as well, and that I know this was a passionate issue, and a lot of people showed up and spoke, and it's not something that, personally I don't want to ignore. I'm more than willing to help with the Cook County Forest Preserve, help do a petition or in any way possible. And, it's not the first controversial issue we've had. We have things in other parks that neighbors haven't liked, and we've moved forward. So this is a case where that isn't happening right now, but I don't think it's something that, we want to give up on.
Thank you, Stephanie. Any other board member like to speak? Okay. Okay, so we're now going to continue our meeting. If those of you are certainly welcome to stay, but you're more than welcome to leave. The dog park section is concluded, and we'll give some time to exit.
Here we are, but we might do another. Do you think we have time for other business to talk about the gazebo?
I think we do because I think this is going to go better. I think this.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Do you have copies of them?
I
have one to run. I emailed it to him earlier. Do you mind go make some copies?
I absolutely have no problem.
Okay. Hi.
Hi, I'm Marlene Sampson.
Hi.
I wanted to introduce myself to you. Jeff Weider's been my accountant for years and years.
Oh, really?
And I've been meaning to call you. Actually,
oh, it's nice to meet you.
I procrastinate a lot, but
you're very lucky to have him.
Yes. Oh, and I see the resemblance.
Oh, yeah.
I had thought I did a little bit in pictures, but when you talked it, the
hand gestures and stuff.
And the mouth. There's definitely.
Her brother.
Yeah,
I think I'm going to pause this for a second.
We're going to move on.
Okay. All right, we're going to move on now.
Moving on. Lisa is going to.
Hey, Dan, if you want to interview him, can you go out?
Yeah, sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Okay, Lisa is going to lead a discussion on additional items, which I believe the category that we heard was Cock Park.
Yes. So since we have everybody here and we have some time, we thought we'd bring up the the master plan, Fund 69, and just bring a little more as we continue to walk around down the road of planning our future projects. And this is absolutely not for next year, it'll be the year after. But I'm going to turn it over to Chris to talk a little bit more about Cauk and some of the flooding issues we were having there and the constant calls and lack of being able to do programming there. So, Chris, I'm going to throw it to you.
As you guys are all aware, we've kind of had some flooding issues swirling around Cauk Park, as we have with much of the park system in the last 2 years. So I put together an analysis of the site, you know, very objectively compared to the rest of the park system. So without really reading things word for word, recent site renovation, as you know, in 2016, we did a phase one at that site for $375,000. So that was really the first round of the district's master plan projects. We just accepted our comprehensive master plan, and based on the significantly deteriorating condition of the gazebo, we moved forward with renovating that park. So the scope of that included replacing the gazebo, the information kiosk, the sidewalk, tying the existing basketball court and park into the Green Bay Trail through that staircase, as well as some ADA upgrades, a new drinking fountain, a picnic bench, things of that nature. So we did not include in that renovation any park lighting or park drainage, just based on the significant cost of those additional amenities. So at the time, as we still plan to use the park, we envision the park continuing to play a central role in Glencoe with the intended use of a performance space and a hub for community events. So the existing infrastructure itself, other than the flooding that we experienced in the pathway area, the majority of the site and the 2016 renovation components are in excellent condition. So the gazebo itself, there's been some minor repairs to the gazebo, the drinking fountain, just things that are general park. Just general park use type items. So outside of the park holding water, we're not really having a lot of issues with the 2016 elements. So first off, the majority of the green space in front of the gazebo is low-lying. So the original park design concept had the park pathway sheet draining based on grade into the kind of the park proper. And the idea was that any water that accumulated there was just permeated into the soil. We know now that that's not occurring like we would need it to. So you may recall some of the commissioners who were on the board in 2017 that we came back and put a French drain system in the park mm-hmm. in 2017, which basically is like underground plastic drums that collect water and are supposed to allow it to slowly percolate into the soil. We don't get that permeation there, so what the drain system is effectively a low point for us to pump from. So that's when you walk through Cauk Park and you see the pump set up. It's not pumping from the grade ground, it's actually pumping out groundwater from below the ground. So we've had some limited success in being able to pump from that, but it's entirely ineffective for draining the entirety of the park. So what I looked at was a couple of options that we could pursue moving forward based on the fact that we're not really getting the use of the park as we initially intended, which was as a community gathering space, a performance space. I don't have the data in front of me, but I want to say we canceled the majority or moved the majority of our events from that park last year.
We did, correct.
So, as we know, last year and the year before were very non-traditional rain years, so we opened a new park and we got hit with the two wettest years in recorded Chicago history in a row, which didn't lend itself well to a park system without drainage. So one of the perceptions that we hear in the community is that there's something wrong with the park. So when Cauk Park is flooded, the majority of our park system is flooded. So it's not this particular site, it's this site, parks along Old Green Bay Road, parks along Green Bay Road, parks on Dundee, Shelton Park. So it's really a lack of a real drainage system that's causing the problem, other than the area with the sidewalk. I did some initial investigation, do we have a warranty issue with the sidewalk? Well, in typical bad luck fashion, the contractor who built that park is now out of business. So we don't have an opportunity to kind of cash in a warranty and say, hey, we need you to come back out. So that's where I started to look at the overall options that we would have. So the first option is to do nothing. So to continue to pump the park out and to just deal with it as best we can, knowing that in drier years it's not going to be has been a problem. In wetter years, it'll still continue to be a problem for the park district. The next thing we could do is some limited pathway area improvements, and whether that's basically regrading the area adjacent to the pathway so it holds water without any real drainage, knowing that that's going to be a low muddy spot, but it's going to help to improve the pathway from being wet all the time. The next ratchet up from that is just putting in limited drainage around the pathway, something that isn't, you know, to the scope of doing the entire park, but saying identifying that pathway as kind of a village arterial and something that we want to keep pure of water. And then, you know, from there we could look at a whole drainage system for the park. We could look at a drainage system with, you know, rain gardens and natural plantings and things that, you know, might be a little closer to the sustainable elements that we did here at Take-Up around our pathway. And then finally, we have heard feedback from some interested concerned residents about the park lighting. We did have one park light prior to the renovation, and in the process of renovating the park, it was determined that it was just no longer safe to be operated, so we did end up taking that out. But at the time, the park renovation included a new electric service, which was optimized for park lighting. So it would really be the installation of new lights, not really the entirety of the project. So we set ourselves up to know that, hey, we might need to come back and take a look at this in the future as far as park lighting goes. So, we know that the Connect Glencoe project and the Duke Playground are going to be really on the front burner for us next year, but just to kind of start thinking about this in our planning cycle, if this is something that we want to continue to consider or if we're fine still evaluating. So we had previously talked about really gathering data, and what the data told us was that Hawk Park was effectively flooded like 80 to 90% of the time in April and May. I mean, we were really pumping it almost every single day through this season. Again, we know that these are non-traditional, you know, rain numbers, so it's hard to compare to historical data in the fact that since the park's been open, we've had the two rainiest years on record in Chicago.
So we just wanted really to give you this information because next month we'll continue our talk about our capital projects 169. There's something that I don't even know if we have ability to put in planning funds for this budget cycle that we're developing now. We're going to look into that, but it's something that we should start considering to think about. So I thought since we had some time, we would share this memo with you, talk a little bit, answer any questions, so you could start thinking about this when we continue our Master Plan 69 discussions. So does anybody have any questions for Chris?
I do.
Yes, please.
Were we the only ones here when we did that gazebo project? Were you guys?
No.
I know you weren't. No, okay. All right. So that was my first taste of how incredibly expensive public projects were. I was, like, mortified. And I think what happened is we had this sort of plan for the gazebo that had to be completely redone that, first of all, seemed crazy expensive to me. I don't know if you felt the same way. And then it was kind of... it was this, you know, real commercial-looking, kind of not very nice-looking thing. So as a board, I don't know if you recall, we wanted to...
Spruce it up
a little bit. So the project got even more expensive in order to make it look fabulous. Was it really the whole soup to nuts that you just described that was $375? Was that what it was?
That was including design fees, construction,
okay.
All the owner type items, yes.
Okay.
And right. And at that time, the board chose not to do the drainage,
yes.
Or the lighting.
Right.
Yeah. So, or the phase two, I think it was. Other.
So you mentioned that the contractor is no longer approachable, but the contractor does what the designer tells them to do. Is there any recourse with the design plan and where the sidewalks were and the height of them and things?
I would say that the designer would say, you took the park drainage out, that's why the park's flooded. I mean, if I was the architect, that's what I would say.
Yeah, got it.
You know, at the same time, you know, their designs aren't designed for To be honest, like they call them like the 0.001 rain events.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not designing the park for the rainiest year on record in Chicago. So, you know, we didn't have problems that first year with the park flooding.
Yeah.
So it really started to become an issue for us as it became an issue throughout the entire park system.
Yeah, we had minimal.
The vast swaths of the park that are flooded are not areas that were even included in the project.
Yeah.
So it's really just that low spot that we have and around the kiosk.
Well, one of my concerns is that Cough Park is, you know, a bowl, and it was initially designed to hold water. It makes it unusable for special events there. So people aren't using the gazebo for, say, weddings or events like that. Our Tot and Tunes, we've had to move to the Take-Off Center the last couple times. Last 2 years, we've had to move it here. So we're not using for that. When we have the Ruck March, it ends up being a muddy pit. So we've kind of taken away any special events that we do in town. We have moved them away from that location. It's such a shame because that's such a center of town that we were hoping that people use for parties and things like that. And when they do rent them out, we always have to have a backup location for someplace else. So it's becoming more of a concern and more of a discussion in town, and people that use the pathway, that's more of a discussion because they use that as their shortcut to get to the train station. So we just wanted to you guys to start thinking about it. How important is that? How important is that sidewalk is never flooded? How important is it to you that we have special events? Or are you okay with the gazebo being just used when you can and it's the focal point of town and people they definitely use inside the gazebo. It's just the front they're not using. And when we do special events, we tend to do it on the back side where there's less flooding. Those are the kind of things I want you to think about. Yeah, Jess.
I think it's great that we're thinking about these kinds of things proactively. I would put this kind of consideration in the same category as developing a master plan for the garage.
Maintenance center?
Maintenance center or the maintenance garage. Because we can't fundamentally make a decision unless we know how much it's going to cost. So I think that's great.
Yeah.
I also, in that vein, am cognizant that we have a long list of things that we would like to fund.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, in isolation, when we say it's terrible that park is flooded and that people aren't using the gazebo and that the path is unusable at certain times, it sounds like we should fix that, right? But then I think we all are going to have some tough decisions to make and say, well, so we can't fix that and replace the playground at Lakefront Park, which is near its end of life, and do the maintenance garage, and.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly, Josh.
I commend us for having these conversations and for doing the planning. I think the risk is, and I'm not saying that we have crossed over this line, but there is a point where we say we're spending so much money on planning for stuff that we're clearly not going to do.
Yeah,
that
you're
it's
right.
Just a waste of money.
Exactly.
Very good point.
So that's where I really want to have discussion, you know, before we do more money into planning.
Right.
So
the way I see it is that I don't want to come to a conclusion before we do some of the homework here. But we have to make a decision. It may not be a lovely one, but is this some cost? Did we put a lot of money into the gazebo, and this is what it is? That could be a reality. Do we want to continue to have Chris's team go out there and pump it all the time? That could be.
Yeah.
We want to invest in it. We have to look also at the alternatives. We have a great gazebo there, and it could be awesome for weddings. It could be wonderful. We have 20 other parks out there that could also be beautiful places for weddings or for, if you think about the beach, it's a beautiful environment for something like this, or Lakefront Park. So we need to know what the substitutions are, but I agree with you. I think it's smart that we're looking at this. The spectrum is going to be, is it a sub cost? Do we invest in it or somewhere in between?
Very well said. Very well said.
And of course, the problem is it would be less expensive to just mitigate the flooding on the path, but you know, there's another path right next to it, so it's not like you can't get from A to B. You can. But more expensive to do what we probably really need to do, which is to make the whole space viable. So that, that's
to be honest with you, I'm much more sympathetic to the park needing drainage so that it's not soupy than spending a bunch of money on infrastructure for a path that's underwater half of the time, 2 months a year, when it's super, super, super rainy. That's spending a lot of money for 1% of the time, probably.
And is it a viable alternative?
Yeah.
To the left.
Yeah.
Right. Like 20 feet away.
Right.
So we just. If we had more money, if we had a limitless, money supply, of course you'd want to do it. The question is, what's the prioritization? And what's the alternative?
Dudley?
Yeah. Like you said earlier, we really don't have enough information to make really good decisions, but so we need to do a little more homework. I think that's what sort of what not only the staff looking for recommendation, but how we approach it. Clark Park is potentially, or I guess it really is, part of the Green Bay Trail system, and we want to make sure that we find ways to keep that system open and circulation through the community, especially since we're investing so heavily in the area to the north. With respect to the access to the gazebo, I don't know that we need to completely elevate things. Those are studies that we need to do. I do think we should take a really careful look at what I'll call non-structural environmental improvements. I've got my sustainability hat on now, but there are firms that specialize in that kind of thing. I have worked with a group called Conservation Design Forum. They're pretty much known for this sort of thing. The interesting thing about that is that when you use the non-structural approach, it generally has initially much lower costs. But it did have some longer-term maintenance kinds of costs. But it also has some secondary benefits, not only for stormwater management, but also for beauty and creating a sense of place in the community, which is also one of the things that we want to do. So I guess what I'm hearing from my fellow members of the commission is that proceed carefully with more information.
Well, we'll have to talk in more detail about what more information is, because we would need to decide if we want to spend money on that more information. None of that comes free, right?
Yeah.
So.
Does it make sense to suggest that we put what we estimate the design fees or study fees, whatever we call them, as part of the menu of items that we're considering?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great idea.
As opposed to the actual fees to do the park?
Yeah, that's a really good idea. It's just put in the plan and look how it, I think Carol will probably be more comfortable with that idea too.
Yeah.
So put it in there and talk about whether, we want to allocate those funds. Yeah, that's really good.
All right, anything else?
Well, this doesn't throw me for a few reasons. One, we always say we don't like to go back and revisit the site after we've already done it, which, we have issues at other sites like at Queens Park where we haven't gone back and fixed the,
Port-in-place.
So there's things that we've ignored. And the other issue I have is we know we have a drainage issue in LIFO, and just to pick this site, I think that's kind of a can of worms because there's other sites that impact homes more so than this site. And yes, this site will be more visible when we do Connect Glencoe, but I don't think that's a fair enough reason to only look at this site because we have so many drainage issues, which we know.
Lisa, some time ago the village was interested in a bridge over Hazel. Is that...
They're no longer interested in the bridge at all, but they are interested in the path. So the pathway for the Green Bay Trail that Dudley's alluded to is not our pathway at all. The pathway for Green Bay Trail is actually the sidewalk.
Right.
So the village is actually looking at that now to see if they can improve that area. It would not be a bridge, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it does strike me that if any construction construction were to happen, whether on village or park district property, the appropriate time to make any improvements on our property would be when it's going to be disrupted anyway, and maybe hire the same.
At the same time, yeah. So that is a very good point. I don't know how fast they're going to move along with that, but I know that they are in discussions for that.
We would definitely capture economy of scale with that approach as well.
Yeah.
So
yep.
the path as it goes along the western edge of Top Park, then?
Yes, the sidewalk is currently the pathway.
Oh, so like redo the sidewalk.
Parallel to the train bridge?
It's right there.
The way to get from it.
And right now it's kind of awkward. Okay. You have to go and it ends, and then you have to go like this, and it's really hard. So they're trying to figure out how they can reroute it to make it a more easy flow, I should say. Those are all very good points. So thank you. I appreciate your feedback on that. And so we'll put that in our continued discussion for Fund 69.
Okay. All righty. So. Are we ready for closed session?
Yes, I have no other business.
Okay, so the board will now enter into closed session where no action will be taken. I entertain a motion that pursuant to Section 5 ILCS 120/2 of the Open Meetings Act, the board will enter closed session to discuss lease property as mandated by Section 2.06 point, parentheses 5 ILCS 120/2, parentheses C, parentheses 5, close parentheses. Those present during executive session include commissioners and Executive Director Lisa Shepherd.
So moved.
I'd say Stephanie.
Okay.
Yeah. Discussion? Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Covey?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden? Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
Chair Brooks?
Yes. Okay, a motion passes.
I'm going to pause this.
Yeah. I entertain a motion to return to open session.
So moved.
Second.
Wow.
Discussion? No. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Covey?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
Chair Brooks?
Yes, motion passes. I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay.